When you know that you are queer, but your favorite drink is beer, that's gayish. You can bottom without stopping, but you can't stand going shopping, that's gayish. Oh, gayish, you're probably gayish. Well, life's just too short for narrow stereotypes, so it's gayish. We're also gayish. It's gayish with Mike and Kyle.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish,
the podcast that's definitely going to get bitten by a vampire eventually because it invites everyone to come inside.
They can't come in if you don't say so.
Exactly. but I invite them before they even ask.
Yeah, it's a good thing you don't like garlic. I'm Mike Johnson.
I was talking about my butt. It was my butt the whole time.
How does your butt feel about garlic?
Tasty, but it leaves a bit of an after smell.
I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Goetz.
And we're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today, bottoms, no tops. Everybody's verse. We're going to talk about being verse.
Oh, everyone's verse for a hot second. Let's get in the verse mindset.
Yep. Yep.
You could do anything you set your mind to.
Yep.
In the bedroom. But first,
a quick correction. So when we were talking about Little Richard and you asked, I had said that he was in Dr. whatever his name was, his medicine show.
Yeah.
And you were like, medicine show? What does that have to do with medicine? And I said, I don't think it has anything to do with medicine. I was wrong. It has everything to do with medicine. Medicine shows were a thing that started in the 19th century and carried on, at least in parts of the South, clear until the mid-20th century. And medicine shows were snake oil traveling salesmen who would have entertainment available to draw people in. So the idea was, hey, we're having all of this entertainment, and here's a concert. And, oh, hey, by the way, while you're here, buy this magic tonic that'll make your teeth pretty and your hair straight and fix your toenails, like you know, those like weird potions that were actually like of no medical value whatsoever, but they were peddled as such.
Yeah, it'd be like nowadays, like a drag queen does her like live stream and is dancing at the end. She's like, "Do you want to buy my incense?" And you're like, "Damn it!"
Yes, but it would also be like she would claim that like it will make you as fabulous as I am, which is, honey, we know it's not going to happen. But
honey bouquet, stop trying to sell me your incense.
There's a throwback. I heard her.
She does. Honey bouquet on Facebook does like cooking, I think on Fridays or something, but it's like in full drag, just kind of slopping the weirdest shit around and like the chunkiest, fattiest stuff. It's really good. Anyway.
And then a slightly related, A.E. Coleman was talking, I think it was in our Facebook group, about the fact that minstrel shows, when we think of a minstrel show as being like Renaissance minstrels, that's not what it means in this context. It basically means putting black people on display, playing black stereotypes for largely white audiences. It was a pretty awful thing that required a great deal of sort of self-abuse for white people's entertainment. And Little Richard certainly got caught up in that kind of exploitation. And so thanks for that. Basically, anything that had to do with what kind of show it was, I was wrong about.
And I had no idea what it was anyway. So, I mean, you could have said anything.
Oh, and I do sometimes.
Isn't it a shame that other people hear this? Because if you just told me it, I'd be like, yeah, cool. And from then on, I'd be like, yeah, that's what Dr. Harry's Medicals show minstrels is.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
For reals.
Thanks, AE.
Any feedback or corrections on your part?
One thing I wanted to mention, because we're still getting a lot of sweet messages from people about the How Are You Doing episode. I also wanted to throw this out there just to let everyone know, like, when we put those kind of episodes out there, like, you and I have our own support systems that we use. So positive comments, people thinking about us, people saying hang in there, all that shit's great. Appreciate that. But also, I don't want listeners to feel like there's any burden on them to do anything to help us. Like, it can be scary to have someone. I think that's part of the point of what we're doing is like putting something out there that it's not resolved. It can feel shitty, and it can still feel shitty by the end because this is not a movie. And our audience is not I don't want them to feel like they have to take on the burden of like, oh no, what do I do about them? You know, like that's something true. That we manage on our own. I mostly thinking like if I was depressed and heard other depressed people talking, I'd be like, oh shit, I have to do something, but I'm too depressed to do anything. Like, I just want everyone to know, like, we're putting this out there. We're not looking for, asking for, and don't need any kind of like support because we have that ourselves. And it's very kind of people to be concerned. But yeah, there's
our goal is so that people don't feel alone or like they're crazy or like they're the only ones that are dealing with things. And hopefully that comes through. Yeah. And
I think it's just the not crazy people that are like, oh my God, what's going on? Yeah. Everyone else that's crazy too is like, yep.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's it.
All right. You ready for the news?
Yeah.
I bet you can predict the end of this one.
I don't know. Did every gay die of coronavirus?
Oh, yep. Turns out everyone's dead. And
this has been lost all along. The island is Earth.
Yep.
I hope even someone holders here.
Yeah. So the real story, though.
Oh,
like the real thing. Okay. So PBS, the Public Broadcasting System, has announced that for June, for Pride Month, they are launching a 6-episode series of short videos on a dedicated YouTube channel created by its digital studios. And they are going to, each one is going to focus on an LGBTQ person and how that person deals with the ever-changing attitudes of Southern communities towards LGBTQ people. Then on June 12th, they will also offer its member TV stations the opportunity to air a 1-hour companion special that features series host and activist Dylan Burnside, or Dilone Burnside. Anywho, so guess what happened when they announced that?
Oh, everyone loved it and were so happy to teach everyone about a new thing that they don't know about.
Yep, no pushback whatsoever. of course their bullshit is bullshit, Kyle. They can't stop having bullshit now. The American Family Association, which just has fuckface written all over it, they issued a statement on its website calling on supporters to sign a petition to cancel Pride Land on PBS. Oh, the name of the series is Pride Land. I forget if I said that.
No, you didn't. That's beautiful.
In the statement, the group decried Pride Land, calling being gay unnatural and unhealthy, but then also sort of provided all of the information on how to find it and where to go to watch it. Like, but then they ended with, quote, PBS's decision to partner with Burnside to push the homosexual agenda is an unjust attack on Christianity and a mockery of the Bible and God's design for human sexuality. Sadly, PBS is proudly promoting a lifestyle that is unhealthy to both the individual who participates in the unnatural sexual behavior and to society as a whole. The thing is, they did not say fucking Jesus or Christ or the church even once in any of this shit. And yet this is an unprovoked, clear and present, dangerous attack on Christianity. Yeah. Fuck your fucking shit ass. You fuckers. Shut your goddamn mouths. Great.
That's the next t-shirt.
You can respond.
Well, I mean, no, the thing that jumped into my head is, have you ever seen those videos of like a car will pull up at an intersection and stop, and then someone will someone on a bike will run up, throw themselves on the hood and pretend like they're injured. Yeah. Like that reminds me of like Christians are running up on the car, throwing themselves on and be like, my Jesus hurts. No. Yeah. And we're like, what the fuck are you doing here? No one asked for you. Like,
that's the new t-shirt. My Jesus hurts.
Ouch, my Jesus.
Oh, I agree. That's fantastic. Some other bullshit on their bullshit site. Quote, in 2020, PBS received $445 million in taxpayer funding. This means you and I are directly paying for PBS to insult our faith and scoff at our God.
Says people whose church receives tax funding, so we're probably paying for them to write that email.
Yeah. Well, they're probably a nonprofit, and people are at least writing off their donations there. The group added,
I write them off. Hey!
Boy, okay. If only that it were that easy. We declare that they are written off. They said that videos in the series will, quote, highlight transgenders, same-sex adoptions, and sexual hookups. And hookups are in quotes. Anyway, there's fuckers are everywhere, Kyle.
Yeah.
Are you ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
That's what he said. In
August of 2018, Costa Rica's constitutional court, their Supreme Court, basically, ruled that gay marriage was legalized and would need to be in place by May 26th of this year. So the decision was made a long time ago, but, you know, next week is supposed to be when it became legal. And it was the first country in Central America to recognize the right of same-sex couples to marry. But this last Tuesday, more than 20 lawmakers introduced a motion to delay the ruling another 18 months. And their argument was that legislators had not had enough time to review the decision because of other issues like the coronavirus.
How long ago was this decided on?
August of 2018.
That's a long time preparing for a minimal response.
It's kind of like you every year just plan on filing an extension for your taxes. Like, yeah. I know you, and it happens every year.
Yeah. And then I wait until the day before the extension date, and then I do it. So it, like, really does nothing, but I don't know.
Yep. So it actually is causing issues. It came to literal blows on Tuesday when Deputy David Garzong of the National Liberation Party, the PLN, physically attacked the legal advisor to fellow PLN deputy Gustavo Viales.
When you said it came to blows, it was either he punched him or he blew him.
Exactly. I don't know. Apparently, legalizing gay marriage was a major campaign promise by President Carlos Alvarado Quesada, who took office in 2018 and then made it happen. And and another point that I think would follow here as well in the States if it were to happen. Quote, the moment the topic is placed on the table again and the country's polarization is exposed, hate speech starts to rise and physical assaults begin, said Margarita Salas, an LGBT rights campaigner and president of the Vamos political party. It seems like a reflection of deep homophobia that in the midst of a pandemic, they want to reopen these issues. And it's true, right? Like anytime, like we think shit has been settled and then all it takes is like for it to pop up in the news a little bit. And then suddenly like people are getting hate crimed.
Yeah.
And, it happens everywhere, even in Costa Rica, which I hear is lovely. Yeah. Anyway, hopefully their bullshit is bullshit and it won't happen. Yeah. They don't have the votes to make it happen. And most people seem agreed that ready or not, next Tuesday on the 26th, it will become the law of the land.
Nice. Well, we'll be thinking about you, homosexual Costa Ricans.
That's right. Okay, great. Last but not least, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. You know the musical Dear Evan Hansen?
Yeah, only from you, because you won't shut up about it.
Well, because it's real good, and the soundtrack is real good, and Ben Platt is in it, and he's going to sit on my face someday. But so he's the one that originated the role, and he's the one that won the Tony for Best Actor for that role in 2017 or 2018, whenever it was, 2017. Anyway, he left the show. And then when somebody leaves a show, they recast it. I don't know if you knew that, but they eventually they cast a boy named Noah Galvin, who you might remember as being the gay kid on The Real O'Neills. Did you ever watch The Real O'Neills? It was a sitcom. It was about a like good Irish Catholic family that had like the gay kid that refused to be suppressed by them or the church or their values. And it was really wholesome and sweet and cool.
Starring Shaq.
Yeah. Well, Shaq and Noah Galvin, who did Real O'Neills and then he did Dear Evan Hansen. Anyway, so now Ben Platt and and Noah Galvin are dating. So two Evan Hansens are banging each other. They're dating. They are boyfriends. They are adorable.
Okay, I saw a picture about this, and I was like, I don't know why I care, and then moved on. So now I get it. I was like, something gay happened. I don't think I care. And then kept, it's like, do I want to go through the time and effort of researching who these people are and understanding why I care? It's like Tom Holland. Like, I don't need to. I'm not going to waste my time on this one. I'll catch the next gay thing.
Yep. Well, apparently Noah was the one that sort of spilled the beans. There have been rumors, and there were a couple of pictures on Instagram that made people like sort of think or realize that things were happening. But on last Monday's episode of the podcast, Little Known Facts with Ilana Levine, he said, quote, Ben and I are dating. I asked him this morning. I was like, are we allowed to talk about this? And he's like, don't go into our nitty gritty. But yeah, people can know. It's still relatively new. Oh. And then Broadway fans lost their fucking minds. And I think that's pretty great.
Yeah, that's cute.
That's cute. And that's the news.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, you're welcome. Oh, wait. While we're still sort of in the news section, we should add that on Friday, May the 22nd, so tomorrow, based on the day that this airs, is Harvey Milk Day. It's happy Harvey Milk Day. It was his birthday. He's a titan in the gay rights movement, and we should remember him. I don't know. Drink your milk, kids. I don't know. What am I supposed to say?
I mean, that was pretty much it. That's that was all he wanted people to know, I think.
He was also assassinated.
Cool. Yeah, he wanted everyone to come out.
Yep.
And he was chill. Okay, well, I want to thank Patreon members, and I want to give an extra special thank you to these Patreon members for being so easy. I'd like to thank Steve.
Wait, like from Blue's Clues?
We just got a letter. Okay. Chris.
Great. Great. Continue to not send in your last names.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Chris. Slightly less thanks to William Potter, or as I call him, Bilpo.
Mm-hmm.
Bilpo Baggins. And Mac Morgenstern.
Hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. So thank you to everyone who has signed up. And I'm a little bit behind on my like getting people all the shit they need, but I will. And if you want bonus stuff and everything, go to patreon.com/gayishpodcast.
Yeah. Yep. I will also add, it's been on my mind this week. I talk to listeners. You know, I talk to listeners sometimes. Sometimes talk with my dick, but a handful, a few, more than two listeners have in recent memory expressed anxiety or regret, I guess, that they're like, I'm really sorry that I can't support you financially. I feel bad that I'm not giving to Patreon. Mm. And yeah. Like, that's okay. Please don't feel like you need to or have to. We're going to keep doing the show. It's going to keep being free. And yeah, you're going to have to hear about it a couple of times an episode, but like, don't feel pressure. We yeah. absolutely appreciate everybody who can, and do not think less of people who don't. So don't stress, man. It's all good.
I would like to offer my rebuttal. I don't like anyone who is not a Patreon member, and you should feel bad.
Great. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about being verse?
Let's talk about being verse.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Mike.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a lot of energy to do things like record an ad.
Boy, it sure does.
You have to think of a topic. You have to think of something witty to say.
Yeah.
It can be kind of draining sometimes.
Absolutely. And I like being drained, but not in this way.
Life can be draining with more social commitments after the winter. People expect that you're going to hang out, spend more time together, and that can be draining.
Especially in Seattle when the sun starts coming out, and that's when all the people in the world come back asking for your time.
Yep.
I need better boundaries, I think.
Yeah. So therapy helps me process what my social life should look like and how I deal with my social battery, how I invest my time and my effort.
Yeah, me too. And it helps me get those boundaries that I was talking about, or at least remember to try to keep them.
Yep. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/gayish today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gayish.
BetterHelp.com/gayish. Do it.
Do it.
Mike, when we started our podcast, there were no other gay podcasts.
Zero.
Zero.
None whatsoever.
We were the very first.
We blazed our own trail. Our own treasure trail. We shaved it.
Just like Harry's blazed their own trail because there were no other razors before they existed.
Right. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by questionable products in the shaving industry, decided to do something better.
I use Harry's and it gives me a smooth, fresh looking face when I shave around my beard. And I really like their products.
Yeah, I do too. The razors are really, really good. But also I enjoyed the body wash. I think it smells super awesome. I use the fig flavor pretty regularly.
Well, if you want to get in on the action, don't settle for the status quo. Blaze your own trail with Harry's. Get started with a $13 set for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
Yeah, it's a 5-blade razor with a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
That's harrys.com/gayish for a $3 trial set.
Yeah, get it.
Do you remember what it was like when PrEP came out?
I sure do. Yes, it was a big deal because everybody was like, now we don't have to worry about HIV/AIDS anymore, which is pretty huge for the community.
Yeah. Well, imagine that, but for STIs. Imagine a world where STIs are a thing of the past.
Everyone's been talking about DoxyPep, and that's because it's 90% effective at curbing STIs like chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. You don't want any of those. DoxyPep can make them not happen to you.
And DoxyPep from Shameless Care is one of the places you can get a hold of it. They are a top telemedicine provider with board-certified physicians across all 50 states with one mission, making DoxyPep accessible and affordable.
The process is hassle-free. Answer some medical questions on their HIPAA-compliant online platform, and one of their physicians will prescribe DoxyPep to you. Viola! It's shipped straight to your door in discreet packaging.
It is affordable, just $109 a year, and that covers your online evaluation, the medication, and the shipping.
So ready to rewrite your story? Ready to rediscover the joy of carefree intimacy? Visit shamelesscare.com/gayish and take control of your sexual health.
That's shamelesscare.com/gayish. Your liberation is waiting.
Your liberation. I do want to start with...
I want to start.
Oh.
No, go ahead.
I wanted to start with, like, is verse a thing? And the reason I want to start with that is because, last night at the Pride 48 happy hour thing, it came up. And there was at least one person who seemed to believe that verse is not a thing. That, like, you're either a top or a bottom. That's just how it is. And then he seemed not persuaded by me saying, well, I top and bottom and enjoy both. And so I exist. And I suddenly felt like a bi person. We're real. I exist.
Verses are valid.
Yeah. But then I also had this like internal, like when the assertion comes up, well, you must enjoy one more than the other. Then my first instinct is like, no, I don't. I like them both and that's fine. And then I think, wait, okay, do I actually like one better or not? Am I lying to myself? Am I lying to them? Am I a liar? What's wrong with me? And then I come back to like, no, they're both fun. It's legit and I like it. So I don't know.
If you give a mouse a cookie of anxiety, like if you give Mike a false statement, what's he going to do with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's preposterous. And it's also like, it's interesting. I get that they're two Lego pieces that need to have each other to be put together, but like bottoming and topping are very different. Like they're two very different sexual experiences. Like,
yeah.
To compare the two, to be like, do you like your dick to come inside a butt? Like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Like, do you like someone slam jamming you? Like, yeah, that's pretty cool too. Like, you know, they're such different things.
You just made me laugh a whole bunch. Okay, great.
Oh, thanks.
Slam jamming. I'm going to put that on my grinder and see what happens.
Slam jam-a-ram.
Yeah.
That's okay. Actually, I have some Gata.
Great.
But not right now.
Oh,
okay. I'll tell you I will go ahead and say Verse is real because I have lots of data.
Buy people are real. Verse people are real. Get with the program.
What did you say in the news section? Transes or something?
Transgenders?
Transgenders are real.
Transfish are real.
Transfish. Okay. I want to just start my stuff off by I couldn't not do this reading what I found in Wikipedia.
Okay, great.
It's
just like verbatim because it's funny on its own. Is that where you're going?
Yes,
with this?
I didn't add like great. I think there was one. I think it was threesomes was the one other one that I just read the Wikipedia article and was like, this is fucking buck wild. Like, so okay, let me read you. So there's a Wikipedia article called Top, Bottom, and Versatile. It does have an image to help demonstrate of cartoon characters getting their bone on.
Wait, is it okay? Is it ridiculous to say or to think that I need to say that verse, when people say verse, that saying it's short for versatile?
Which no, it's not like, weird. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, when somebody says when a gay person says that they are verse, they mean that they enjoy topping or bottoming, and it is short for versatile, as in I have a versatile array of utensils. I don't know. He's a versatile baseball player. Like I don't know what's an actually good use of the word versatile, Kyle. Versatile Kyle. That's a superhero's name.
Ooh. I'll top you into the ground, then bottom you back up. I don't know. I have a versatile array of. You're right. There's nothing that makes that sound normal. What's a sentence that sounds normal? An artist could have versatility in their work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I almost talked about Tom of Finland because I saw him linked to from Wikipedia to. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. Yeah. So just, yeah, the basics. Like to fuck and get fucked. Does it have to be fucked? Could you? I mean, like.
Sometimes I see oral top and oral bottom online, and I'm like, how about just like you're into blowjobs? I don't know.
Yeah, because top can be like a. I don't know. I think there's more than penetrative sex that could refer to, and yeah. Okay.
Fucking's a journey, not a destination, man.
Sure. Okay, so here's in the section in this Wikipedia article, the section called versatile.
Mm-hmm.
It says, quote, according to some, living a versatile lifestyle, which that's in italics, versatile lifestyle, implies a certain openness to new things and an opposition to labels, stereotypes, and generalizations. Therefore, the concept differs from heterosexual relationships, where sexual compatibility does not begin with guessing who will end up as top or bottom. In self-descriptions of men seeking sex with other men, they may refer to themselves as versatile top or bottom, in addition to other commonly used terms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's stupid. All of that is lies.
It is?
The versatile lifestyle?
Oh yeah, the versus style, that's not okay. But but one thing that was in there that I really that I liked is it's true that straight people don't walk through life like wondering, like cisgendered straight people don't go through their life like wondering who's going to be the one that gets something put in them. Like and gay guys, there is an unknown like negotiation that happens like until you actually are hooking up, who knows,
yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
That's not something like straight people just basically get to like not have to worry about it.
I will say in the future, I would love if that was not true. And like you know, straight people that might hook up, it's like, hey, no, you can stick something in my ass. Like, you know, you don't, you may not know who's doing what to whom. But I agree with you right now. That's not the case in general. Like, you know, who's dicking who in a cis straight couple.
Yep.
Yeah. I didn't think about like, just trying to like, that's something straight people just don't even think about, is like, we have this whole other layer of like, you know, it's great when you're on the apps, like you just say, you know, whether top, bottom, reverse. But when you're out at the bar, like you have to be like, he's got a little bit of a top attitude, or like, and that's what I hate about being tall, is because at first, before you meet me or know me or anything, I'm just tall. And so people associate that with being a top, which is annoying.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, there's a similar thing about like, you get three gay guys together and anybody could be into anybody else that's there. Like, that's something else straight people don't really go through, right? Like, if a straight couple is hanging out with some other lady friend or some other dude friend, like, there's already dynamics there. There's already presumptions there that are largely correct. It's not universal, but like, you get three gay guys together and God only knows what's going to happen.
I know. That's what makes gay orgies so fun. It's like, what's next? Okay. So now I want to read this quote still in the Wikipedia article. The reciprocal scenario where both men take turns fucking each other is often exercised as a celebration of equality. What sets this scenario apart from the others?
Hold up. Stop.
Sorry. Did you see a problem in this yet?
A celebration of equality. Like, oh, we flip-flopped. Let's have a parade. Like,
what? No. I think you misunderstand. The flip-flop is the parade.
Oh, that explains the candy. Okay.
Is that like, once you achieve flip-flopping, candy rains down and balloons and Hillary Clinton's like, ooh.
There's a marching band. Like, George Takei shows up in the limousine.
I've been waiting for this. Okay, let me keep going. That was just the first sentence of this quote.
No, sorry, I couldn't.
I know. What sets this scenario apart from the others is the versatility of the men involved. Versatility is a unique and important feature of male anal sex. Some men consider it liberating. Versatility to them is akin to speaking two different languages. It requires a special kind of playfulness, creativity, curiosity, and coordination. And that is a quote from Stephen G. Underwood in the book Gay Men and Anal Eroticism, Tops, Bottoms, and Versatiles, which I need to read this book.
Hashtag verse pride, hashtag bilingual asshole.
I really need to hear more about Stephen G. Underwood. What are you thinking? Why did you say that? Are you
Underwood?
Gay? Bottom. It's just the weirdest. Like, if someone goes to learn about gay people learning about shit, I didn't even think about this till right now, you know, they only have limited places to go. Of course, we talk about one of them as porn. If someone goes to read the top, bottom, and versatile page on Wikipedia, boy, they're going to be led astray.
Yeah.
They're going to think versatile is a celebration. They're going to think it's celebrates their playfulness and creativity. It's just the weirdest thing to be in that section.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, man. Okay.
Oh boy. Let's clear it up. Okay. That's my first section.
Okay, great. So stereotypically, here we go. I'm going to talk about the history of being verse. Specifically, I want to talk about the time when being verse was legit illegal. Okay.
When I think of gay being illegal, oftentimes they get it in there by saying like sodomy. Like that's their roundabout way of saying gay is legal. So this is interesting that verse would be.
Yeah. We're going to go back even further than the sodomy laws.
Okay.
We're going to go back 2,500 years to the ancient Greeks.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've talked about pederasty before. I think it came up in the pedophiles episode, but it's come up in other episodes also. I assume most people know by now, but if you don't, the ancient Greeks, like, dudes were fucking. And not only were they fucking, but people were aware. And depending on the arrangement, people were okay with it. Mm-hmm. So for the most part, there are lots of exceptions. The Greek city-states were a big kaleidoscope of different cultures, blah, 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 blah. But in general, in ancient Greece, the idea of pederasty was you took a man, a full-grown man, and you hooked him up. He was known as the Erastes, and you hooked him up with a younger male, the Eromenos, who was usually in his teens, as old as 20 in some incarnations of this thing. But basically, he became like a mentor. Like, it was a big bro, little bro kind of a relationship, except I also get to fuck you when I want to.
You're going to say he basically becomes a cum receptacle.
Yeah.
That's what I'll cross-stitch inside the thing I'm making.
Sure. Why not?
Okay.
Why not? But here's the thing. So I have a whole bunch of notes. I don't know that I want to go over all of this because it's like a lot. But basically, within that culture, Greek and then later Roman culture, the idea was, if you bottom, you are not a man. That is shameful. That is feminine. That is disqualifying from society. And so if bottoming meant that you were feminine, but boys are not men, then bottoming as a boy is okay.
Oh.
So when you became a man, when you grew up, you had to stop bottoming and you had to start topping, because bottoming is an unmanly thing. But you have to choose non-men for that outlet.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
So, like, fast forward or whatever, that turned into an actual law called the Lex Scantinia. The Lex Scantinia, which said, if you're a man, it's okay to be a top, but it's not okay to be a bottom. So they put into law that you can't be verse.
Do you know what their words for top, bottom, and verse are?
Okay. So there is some interesting, there are some really interesting terms. Let me find my whole list here, because I think it's fucking great. Yeah. So there's a whole glossary here of, like, by the time you get to Rome, so then the man or boy who took the receptive role, the bottom, was called a kinedus, a pathicus, an exoletus, a concubinus. And the thing is, not only were there a fuck ton of words for ass sex, but, like, there was, they all had like nuanced meanings.
There are lots of meanings in English for ass sex, but it's never been ass sex.
Yeah, I know. Kinedus is any man who was gender deviant. So it was anybody who wasn't a man because of something that he had done. And then it's not equivalent to the English vulgarism faggot, except that both words can be used to deride a male considered deficient in manhood. Concubinus is there were slaves. There were male sex slaves that were concubine. Sometimes. Yep. It's the male form of the word concubine. And it's interesting, too, because there's a wedding hymn written by Catullus who says the groom's concubine, male concubine, concubinus, is anxious and fearful of being abandoned because he's getting married. Like, what will happen to me? Like, there's an implication there of it being a strong emotional relationship, not just a sexual one, because the concubine in this hymn is like, am I going to get left behind here? So then there's exoletus, which I love this one, and I probably shouldn't. It's fucking hilarious, and it's bottom shaming at the same time, and that's not okay. But exoletus is basically a male prostitute who has been worn out. It is the past participle form of the verb exolescere, which means to grow up or to grow old. And it means a male prostitute who services another sexually, despite the fact that he himself is past his prime or has been worn out. And anyway, yeah.
I didn't know the Romans had a hot dog down a hallway saying.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And then I guess, I mean, there's a whole list. Like, there's more. I've gone through like maybe half of the list here of like terms for top, bottom, and verse. Hmm. Verse was not a term. Verse was illegal. You were either a man and you were the penetrator, or you weren't a man and you were the penetratee. Huh. And then there were different rules depending upon whether you were in high society or whether you were a slave or an outcast. And to come back to the initial thing, the fact that there's a written law called the Lex Scantinia that made it formally illegal to do both.
Huh. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I had no idea it went all the way back. Verse has been around forever.
Verse has been around forever. But I also think the other thing I want to talk about in all of this, I guess, is that there for at least that long, right? Like three millennia or whatever, there's this unfortunate, difficult to shake, persistent idea that being a bottom means that you're a chick, that you're less than, that it's shameful, that it's
feminine.
It's whatever you want to say. Yeah. And it's really, I think, difficult even now to get away from those powerful cultural undercurrents that are there.
Yeah.
Like we see it all the time, right? Yeah. The sassy queen must be a bottom. Even gay guys are guilty of perpetuating that.
Mm-hmm.
And
like I am for sure.
Yeah. And I think that by extension sort of taints the status of verse. Like if you're verse, you're not really a top because you're sometimes a bottom and they're feminine or passive or whatever.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder if people were honest, if people didn't have the like trappings of these overloaded terms, if it would be more okay.
Hmm.
Like, are more people actually verse but are afraid to say so?
Hmm.
Or more to the point, how many tops out there would be verse, but they're so afraid of what being a bottom means that they won't even try it. Nothing's coming near my butthole. And it's because of not the physical sensation, but because of the emotional, symbolic, cultural attachments to what that means.
Yeah, that is the best lead-in I can think of to Gaeta. Are you?
Great. Let's do it.
Okay. Because it kind of tries to answer that in a way. So before I tell you the numbers, let me ask you the questions. I don't know exactly how they asked them, but let me ask you the questions that they asked the men in this survey.
I shall do my best.
Okay.
Don't let me dilly dally. Don't let me
flim flottle.
Yeah,
that's not a phrase. What would you ideally be? Ignore all the reality. Like if you could live in your perfect world, would you ideally be top, bottom, or verse?
Verse.
In practice, in your actual sexual experience, what are you? Top, bottom, or verse?
Verse. But I have had a, like, preparing for this episode, I have a, sorry, I'm going to interrupt. There's a tangent here.
Yeah.
I have a newfound respect and want to apologize to bisexual people. And the reason is, there was a study that showed that self-described bisexual people, when they are on dating apps, only ever pursue one or the other.
Yeah.
Like they'll say they're bi, but their profile and their behavior suggests that they're only looking for men or only looking for women. And the thing is, that doesn't make them not bi. That just means that's what they're after right now. And that's what their profile is designed to do. So like when I think about being verse, yeah, I'm verse. I enjoy both. And most of the time, I'm after one or the other. Mm. It's not like I'm equal opportunity. I'm online to find somebody to rail, or I'm online to find somebody to rail me.
Yeah.
Rarely am I on there for both. Like, it's whatever kind of a mood I'm in. And I don't think that makes me not verse. It or just or it makes me a top and then a bottom and then a top and then a bottom. I'm like Schrodinger's asshole. And like,
No, wasn't that OK Cupid, that study? Yeah,
I think it was. I remember
you talking about that. And that being like a really interesting thing that I couldn't kind of piece together, but you're right. Like, just like if you're in a opposite gender couple, like that doesn't make you straight all of a sudden. If you top, that doesn't mean you are a top now forever. It just means you did it once.
Anyway, the answer to your question, which was not an option in practice, am I top, bottom, or verse? I can't answer because the answer is top, then bottom, then top, then bottom, then top.
Okay. The
verse. The answer is verse.
Yeah. The question is like, if you look back on your sexual encounters, like what do you do? And if it's both, then yeah, it's verse. Okay. So this study is called The Influence of Physical Body Traits and Masculinity on Anal Sex Roles in Gay and Bisexual Men by David A. Muskungun and Trevor A. Hart.
We're going to talk about giant dicks, aren't we?
That's not giant, but dicks are involved.
Great.
And this was published in the Archives of Sexual Behavior in 2011. So they surveyed 429 gay and bi men, and they answered those questions, and they rated themselves on a lot of physical characteristics, including penis size. So important. I'm going to tell you the data and then give you my own interpretation, not the studier's interpretation, because I'm smart.
You're going to read between the lines for us?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to read between the faggots, because this is self-reported data.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you say penis size and self-reported data, like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But 13 inches is going to be a category, and it's like... they're not real. They're not real, Kyle.
Well, 13, I might be. I bet there's one out there.
No.
Okay, so they ask them all the same questions, and then they categorize people into those, like, in react, like, what are you ideally? What are you in practice? So it's your ideal versus actual. So I will talk about ideal tops or ideal bottoms. Those are the ones that, like, I want to be a top. I want to be bottom. Okay. So of those that reported being either ideal top or ideal bottom, 80% of people were actually in reality that thing. So 80% of ideal tops were actually tops in practice. 80% of ideal bottoms were actually bottoms in practice. The other 20%, in both cases, the other 20% of people were verse. So people did not report being ideally a top, but then bottoming. Nor did they say they are ideally a bottom and they top. That just isn't a thing people do.
Their behavior is egocentric.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I can context clues, but that their actions align with their words. Is that what that means?
That the way that they think about themselves and the way that they are in alignment.
Oh, ego. Got it. What did they use in this study? A whole bunch that I had to look up. Concordant. A concordant top is a top who says they want to top and also tops. And so that word was all over the place.
We need a whole line of t-shirts now.
Concordant top.
Concordant verse.
Oh my God, there has to be a chart, like ideal bottom, like concordant versus ideal. I don't know, something. Okay. Let's keep going. So now we're talking about ideal verses. Mm-hmm. For those that, which is you. Mm-hmm. This is you.
Great.
Actually,
talk about me more.
I was going to ask Dan, what is your answer to this question? What is your ideal and what is your reality?
Oh, I probably see it. I don't like the binary of top and bottom, and I don't like the trinary of top, bottom, and verse. I think there should be more positions on it, on the spectrum.
Sure.
I would argue that it should go top, top, verse, verse, top, verse, verse, bottom, bottom, verse, bottom.
Agreed.
Similar to a Kinsey scale. And I skew bottom both ideally and in real life, I probably skew more bottom than my ideal, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, that's me too. That's me too. Okay. Anyway, so of those that said they would be ideally verse, half of those were in reality verse. They acted versely. 25% then were in reality a top, 25% were in reality a bottom.
Okay.
So then they started looking at all those things that people said. Well, wait, any surprises there? I think that all adds up to me.
I think that all adds up. I mean, I believe let me back up. Yes, that surprises me. I just had to get there. It surprises me because I would think that there would be more people that weren't verse but wish they were.
Oh.
Like, to me, it seems so obvious that desiring to be verse, having that be the ideal, is the right answer. Like, why limit your options? Like, I'd choose to be bi if I could. Like, why? Like, look at all the fun options there are in the world. So, then looking at the delta between what people want and what they're doing highlights for me that there aren't as many people as I thought there would be who wish they were verse but aren't.
Hmm. Gotcha. Also, Mel Gibson stars in the sequel to What Women Want. What verses want?
Great.
Okay. So now connecting.
Wait, is it like you get hit in the head and you can only hear what tops say in the head? Like you can read the thoughts of.
My God, this would be a great movie. Okay, so now we start to connect what they said about top versus bottom with those physical characteristics they said. So. After the study, penis size and masculinity, they rated themselves on masculinity. Penis size and masculinity were the only two consistent, statistically significant variables to predict their penetrative roles. So it tended to be that tops, like going down the scale, like tops reported having the biggest dick and the hairiest, bottoms reported having a smaller dick and less hairy. And I will... Again, go back to, there are a couple exceptions that I'll talk about, but again, go back to my suspicion is that people that say they are tops are like valued based on penis size. So like they have even more of an incentive to round up their number. Also, I think they tend to be the guys that like the fact that they rate themselves higher on masculinity, like they're, I think some tops are trying to be that exactly what you're saying. Like bottom is shameful or feminine. I want to be a top. So I imagine those types of people being more likely to say they are masculine and have a bigger dick.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay.
That's my guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's like you said, there's a certain amount of self, I don't know, self-delusion happening there, or not delusion, but like there are expectations there that if that's the role you're trying to fill, then you're incentivized or pressured to fit those expectations, whether it's true or not, and you report what you report.
Yeah. Is that the role you're trying to fill or the hole you're trying to fill? So this was in 2011. I saw another study in 2017 that talked about like, okay, the only data we really have on top bottom verse is, I think they were referring to this study, but like focuses a whole bunch on penis size. And I skimmed their results and they were saying like, okay, but there's way more going on than penis size. For example, people with smaller penises might have more anxiety about topping because of their penis. So they might be more likely to bottom because of that. So what it's trying to say is it's more complex than, it's not as simple as just like, oh, big dick top. It's like, there's a lot of mental and other things going on. So that's what this next study wanted to try to figure out. And even in that study, they talk about like, there are not that many studies into this. So this is another one of those times where it's just like, it's crazy to me that like such an important sexual practice, sexual construct in the gay community, like doesn't have more than like connecting it to penis size. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I get that. That's a logical first step. It's frustrating because there's so much more that goes into it. And and reducing it to penis size seems weird, but I get why that would be the first thing you'd try to figure out in this study. But yeah, we don't have any more studies that I have seen. The one exception is about concordant versatiles, which that's okay. You, Mike. You, yep, what great. Was the other word? Egocentric?
Egocentonic, yeah.
Egocentonic. In the study, this is the last thing, they said, quote, concordant versatiles remain a relative mystery.
I'm mysterious.
You're mysterious.
I'm a unicorn.
They reported larger penises and more masculinity than concordant bottoms, but they are no different in penis size and masculinity than concordant tops. So tops that say they're tops and verses who say they're verses, at least on the physical metrics that they studied here, are not distinguishable. So the studier said there's something else. There's a variable we didn't study here that is explaining these differences, and we need to try to figure that out. So that to me, again, going on my kind of hypothesis that the reason for that difference is they're the same physical people, but some are just more like mentally less shameful. They're more open. They're more willing to be the bottom.
Yeah. One thing I'm not hearing in the data that I'm kind of surprised about that I was interested in is the phenomenon of the guy whose dick is so big, he only bottoms because nobody will bottom for him. I've known at least one person that's their fate. at least that's what they say.
I have not. Yeah. I didn't see anything about dick so big you got a bottom, but good for you. You know, right. If that's your,
I think that's my ideal, actually.
Like, your dick's so big you can't bottom.
A horse hung dom bottom would be like that's what I want out of my life. Just like I want to try to climb that mountain like three times a year on special occasions. Otherwise, I just want to see it and play with it, and then like you can take it.
Are you a Christmas and Easter bottom?
Yeah, exactly. And birthdays, come on now.
Yeah, and when my parents are in town. that got weird. Great.
So if you're out there, listener, in the gayish agenda, call me.
Yeah, no, I don't want anyone horse hung because I don't want to take that in my dish.
Yeah. That's the Polari word of the week. Good job.
I remembered this. Okay, sorry, everyone. I forgot last week. Did you notice? I don't know if you did. I'm talking to the listener. I don't know if you noticed. Who knows? Well, I'll do this one. Okay, so the word is dish, which means anus. Yeah. And I like this for two reasons. I mean, one, just that's great right there. It comes from the metaphor that sex is like eating. So like eat an ass, like you're eating a dish. Also like dish. So there are some words we use today that we've learned are Polari, like zhuzh. Dish as in tell someone what you think or like, you know, reveal a secret, like that kind of dish is not Polari. Dish in Polari specifically means anus. Don't take this away from my anus.
Okay, great. Great. Yeah. I was thinking like, I know that the, that Round the Horn, the radio show on the BBC, one of their running jokes was talking about people's dirty dishes. And that was one that just went right over the audience's head, but simultaneously hilarious to the Polari speakers in that were out there.
This completely changes dishwashers.
Yeah. I need a good dishwasher. That'd be fun. And then the other thing I was thinking was like, you have a good, like you have a China pattern. So you have a nice set of dishes. And then for you, like have a set of like dollhouse dishes or kids dishes. Cause your butthole's tiny.
Yeah.
Yay. Dish.
Okay. That's all the gata.
Awesome. I'm out of stuff to talk about. Do you have more to talk about?
No. Should we talk about ourselves? Have we already talked about ourselves?
I mean, we kind of. I have. I've talked about myself a whole bunch.
Well, then let me talk about.
I'm a malignant narcissist with a microphone.
I don't think that's true at all. You're benign.
Thanks.
So for me, there is that common joke that Verse Bottom is actually Bottom in disguise.
Like and a transformer?
Like a transformer.
Bottoms in disguise.
Shia LaBeouf is here. Why? Okay. Justin Mull. Okay. I actually get like, it's, I have this weird thing where I get frustrated when people say I'm lying about being Verse, but the reason for that is, and I think you're right. Like going back to like, what are you seeking in hookups? I have such bad anxiety. I think that's a big reason why I can't top. I barely want strain. Like, I don't know, any kind of sexual interaction. I have so much anxiety about. I usually bottom, and a lot of times I just want to get railed. So like when I'm out there, like on Grindr Scruff, usually it's bottom. But in a relationship, I'm definitely Verse. And that's because I'm more comfortable. I don't have all the pressure. It's someone I know. So I could be like, you know, with a boyfriend, you can be like, yo, this isn't working. You want to shove my finger up there? Like, you know, you could do other, like, it's a little bit easier to kind of work around issues. If someone comes over to get fucked and you like, can't do that, then they're like, why am I here? You know?
I mean, best part of a relationship, I think, is the realization that it's okay if this sex doesn't go awesome because there will be a next time. Yeah. So the pressure is off to have it be the perfect, amazing, like perfect ending. So like you're given license then to try other things. Yeah. Or like if you just both decide to not come and fall asleep, that's fine too. Because there's always tomorrow, which in a hookup, it's now. Like it has, like now is the, this is the thing. This, like, it has to happen, right?
Please let there not be a tomorrow. Yeah.
Also, yeah. I've been thinking a lot about the Autobots and the Decepticons.
Oh my God. I love that so much.
Yeah.
I'd probably love it more if I knew more about whatever you're referencing. Is it Transformers that is?
That's Transformers. Okay, that's the good guys and the bad guys.
Okay, just making sure. So in a relationship, my ideal is in a relationship, I would be Verse. And a lot of times I am that, but I definitely bottom more than, that's not true. In one of my relationships, I was like mostly top.
Wasn't that because you had a giant dick?
Yeah. Like, and this was before I knew how to do what I do now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry.
You make me want to shoop.
You make me want to shoot?
Shoop-a-doop. Shoop-a-doop. I'm in a mood today, Kyle. I'm so sorry.
Happy podcast. So I think I eventually just changed for hookups, like on my profiles. I think I finally just changed it to bottom because mostly when I'm on there, that's what I'm looking for. But I'd be cool to meet someone to like date for real, and I would want them to know. I don't know, Mike.
Yeah, I've gone through the same thing of like, if I just have Verse on my profile, am I eliminating like the rest of the planet, the 80% of the people that were in your survey because they're looking for, by God, I want a top or I want a bottom, and I'm missing out on a huge audience by saying Verse because people are like, eh, that's not what I'm looking for, or too wishy-washy, or like, you know what I'm saying?
I do. I wonder how many people, I would think people that top and are looking for like a bottom, it'd be more about like, I want someone who like is like soups bottom squealing.
A like, super bottom?
Super bottom. Yeah. That's a superhero.
Yeah. Versatile Kyle and his sidekick super bottom.
Wait, can my ass be my own sidekick?
Oh yeah. But yeah, but you like keep him in your purse or something, like
a Verse in the street, a bottom in the sheets.
Yeah. We're gonna workshop this.
Okay. Yeah, we have lots of different ideas threading through this, and I'm not sure which one we need to run with. But yeah, so that's me and being Verse. I think that's all I got.
All right. So we did it. We covered it. All of the things.
Verse.
Everyone is versatile now.
This is one of the many episodes we have in our list of like, oh shit, we haven't done just this basic thing. So we're going to get to more of those. I'm glad we finally, I don't know how we have not talked about this before.
Yep. Yep. And I don't know how we talked about a lot of the things we've talked about instead. So.
Yeah, we have picked a lot of, like, if you look at all of our episodes, we picked all of those before we picked Verse. We picked threesomes twice before we picked Verse.
Oh, good. Should we take a break?
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
Break.
I'm going to get railed. And then I'm going to rail you.
Oh!
Break.
Break.
Part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
Sorry, we're back.
We're back.
We're back.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest, but first, hey, Kyle.
Hey, Mike.
We are having another live stream. It's the last Saturday of the month, which we said we were going to do, and we've been doing it.
And we're doing
I'm
it.
Wondering why we promised. But Saturday, May the 30th at 6 p.m. Pacific time, we will be live on Facebook, and you can see us and watch us fuck up in person.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So there's a Facebook event. You can go to our Facebook page and say that you're attending so that we actually we get happy and actually prepare.
So we bring enough poppers. So we
pass the poppers. Yeah, yeah, that'll be good. Those are a lot of fun. So yeah, check it out.
Our website is gayishpodcast.com.
Our Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all of our social is at gayishpodcast.
Our hotline, you can send us text messages or leave us voicemails, is 5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rate supply.
And our email is gayishpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. And our mailing address is Post Office Box 19882, Seattle, Washington 98109, which we got some stuff.
Ooh, are you opening it?
Well, I already opened it so I could send Dan his part because my roommate went over there to, I don't know, take over Dan's garden or something. Now that he's peed on your garden, he owns it, at least in his mind, just so you know. Here we go. It's from AE. Well, he signed it, Alex. Dear Mike, Kyle, and Dan, since Kyle doesn't have a mask and has effectively been barebacking in the filthy, filthy, filthy air, coronavirus air, I decided to sew all three of you some masks.
Oh, my God.
Two masks are for Kyle, two are for Dan, and one is for Mike to disguise his fancy mask and help him not feel so anxious. I get it. These masks can be washed in a regular washer and dryer. There's a metal nose piece in them that you'll need to bend back into shape and possibly reposition, but they don't require any special care or settings. Also, I folded over the ends of the metal so they won't poke through the fabric. There's a pouch to insert filter material. Also, the side with the writing goes toward your face with the arrows pointing up. You're all quite smart. I believe in you. The only reason it makes any difference is because the pleats are angled to not catch dust and such in the folds. My apologies if any of the stitching isn't very pretty. I haven't sewn since I was in the Navy in 2004. Please take care of yourselves and each other. And Kyle, the virus has occasionally jumped species to pets and livestock. It was in the news. So make sure Reynolds is social distancing. You may need to give him one of your masks. Love you guys. Hugs. Alex. P.S. I'm happy to make masks for Ma Johnson, Murphy, any of Dan's Polycule, the listeners, or anyone you know who might need one. They can email me, aecoleman1@gmail.com, or reach me on Facebook.
Damn, that's a... Thank you, A.E. That's so adorable. I'm so excited to wear it.
Yeah. This one says, your filthy, filthy mouth here, with up arrows.
On the inside of the mask.
This one says, this mask is a literal cock block. This one is just a smiley face.
Oh.
And Dan said something on his, too. I just forget what it was.
Give me one second.
Okay.
Also, don't sign up to make masks for anyone.
It's that only seems... 10 people.
Okay, that's true.
So, mine are not the rainbow one, but this one says whore and a little heart.
And a heart!
And this one says potty mouth.
Oh, your mouth is a potty.
Party.
To be fair, I guess which
ones
were yours.
Wait, did you say potty mouth or party yeah, mouth?
It says potty mouth, but I prefer
party mouth
being
is...
a party mouth. Yeah.
I love that now, actually. Thank you, AE. That's so sweet. Mike, give me my masks.
Yeah, okay. I will.
Okay.
Great. Gayest and straightest?
Yeah.
Wait. What? Hold on. No. First. Okay, so I know that you stopped reading our reviews because they were giving you anxiety.
Yep.
And I'm not going to read them because I know that this episode's going long and I don't want to cause you any anxiety. And there have, in the last 6 months, been at least two reviews that specifically called out gayest and straightest is stupid and we're perpetuating binaries that shouldn't exist and that we're terrible people. And I just wanted to be clear, because I don't think we talk about it that often. The whole fucking purpose is to show that three gay guys do gay stuff, but we also do straight stuff all the time, and that it's all dumb.
Yeah.
Like, the whole exercise is showing that it's dumb. And if you don't get that, I'm glad you're not fucking listening, dumbass.
Okay. I will now say, I've thought about this a lot. Like, there is some piece of, like, there's at least some perpetuating of stereotypes because we are repeating things that are already out there. So I understand part of that. And I think that if you don't understand us and you just hear that, yeah, you may think that it's stupid or may have that reaction. I also think, though, that most of the stereotypes we're talking about are so commonly known that we are not creating new stereotypes. We are only saying things that are already in the zeitgeist. So, yeah. I mean, I get it.
Yeah. All right.
Also, just stop. You can stop right now. You can stop listening.
Yeah, but they didn't just stop. They had to fucking shit on our doorstep on their way out, and I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, yeah, fuck off, or you're fine, or whatever. I don't know.
All right. Do your gayest and straightest.
Okay. My straightest is I have started to cook, which... Those who know me, like, I told my mom that I, like, cooked, and she was like, what? And I was like, well, on a pan. And she was like, what? Like, already. Yeah. She was like, wait.
Everyone, all of us in our friend group that you have told that to has had the same, like one of two reactions. Either just abject disbelief, like, jaw-dropped surprise,
yeah.
Or, like, this sort of, like, almost inspiration porn of, oh, good for you, Kyle, you're doing
yes,
the thing.
Yes, exactly, which I deserve the second one. I sent a bunch of pictures to our friend Carly of, like, hey, I made this. The second the pictures went through, she called me and just, like, screeched on the phone. She was so excited. Okay, but my straightest is the shit I'm cooking are the straight dude meals. Like, I'm like, oh my God, you can put, like, dip chicken in flour and then put it on the pan and now you have chicken to eat. Like, I don't know if everyone knows this. You can just put steak on a pan and then it cooks and then you just eat it. It's like you don't even have to order steaks to delivery. This is a whole new thing I'm discovering. If you like
doing that, you should get some shake and bake. Like, that's super easy. You put the powder in the bag, you put the chicken in the bag, you shake the bag, and then you cook the chicken, and it has flavors and it's good. And, like, all right, don't, yeah, okay, keep, go on.
Sorry, I was just thinking about dancing and smoking weed. My gayest thing, as you all know, I'm rewatching Grey's Anatomy. No, watching Grey's Anatomy because I haven't seen all of it. And I am now to the most recent season. There is
season 46.
And there's a trans guy in it. He's not regular, but shows up every now and then. The gay thing is my, that's really cool. Also, when he in an episode said, I am a proud trans man. And, like, just that was great for TV, people seeing that represented on TV. But also, it's like, I've never heard a trans people actually say the words, I am a proud trans man. Like, that's just not.
Okay, well, was it, like, in an inspirational speech, or were they just, like, in the cafeteria or something? like,
hey, is that pudding? I am a proud trans man. No, it was. I think they actually did it in a really good way of he had been charged for some kind of cyber crime. I don't need to recount Grey's Anatomy. Yes, it was part of a speech. A classic Grey's Anatomy monologue.
Yep.
But my standards for, you know, trans representation and gay representation are a little bit higher than I am a proud trans man. But, you know, progress is progress. Good work.
Great. Okay, so the strangest thing about me this week, I've gone off of carbs and just trying to like do anything to make my health better. Anyway, I ate a whole bag of pork rinds yesterday, and like,
which are okay, right? In your diet,
chicharrones. They're totally keto. There's zero carbs, but it's like fried pork fat in a bag. Like,
it's the weirdest diet.
It's so straight guy to me. I don't know. I just think pork rinds are like the straightest straight guy thing ever. Yeah. But the gayest thing about me this week. So, I just like full on was a super diva queen bitchy cunt to my roommate. I yelled at him for eating too loud, and like I was like, I'm so sorry, I'm being a bitch, and then I just went to bed like embarrassed because I just like, in the middle of Schitt's Creek, I fucking lost my shit, and I've been feeling bad about it. And but I just think that like unloading on somebody for something pretty benign that feels super gay.
Well, yeah, unloading on anyone's pretty gay.
Yep.
No, I bet a lot of people relate to the like, you know, my roommate did something tiny and I just can't.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also not that girl. Mm. I am not. Mm. And I just whatever the perfect storm of factors were that night, I just couldn't. I just lost my shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, user submitted.
Yeah.
Here we go. Hi, guys.
Hi.
I wanted to say hi and tell you how much I've been enjoying the podcast. My name is Curtis, 35, from Illinois. I discovered the podcast about 2 months ago. The Closet was the latest episode at the time. Since then, I've been trying to catch up while I can, while also listening to new episodes. As of now, going from the beginning, I'm up through the Aziz Ansari shrinkage episode, and I'm mostly caught up from The Closet forward, except I've only gotten about 5 minutes into the latest episode, Camming. The podcast is very entertaining, so funny, but also very vulnerable at times, and I really appreciate that you're both willing to put those parts of you out there, but then at the same time, not take yourselves too seriously. It makes for a good balance. I've been wanting to write in for a while now, but felt extra compelled to as of the past few days. One, because I caught the end of your live stream on Saturday where Kyle was talking about men being more into destruction, and I thought of a gayest and straightest for myself that's kind of relative to that topic.
Destroy they both have my to do ass.
They both have to do with the movie Titanic. I watched Titanic twice last week, and the gayest thing about me, besides watching Titanic twice in 1 week, is just how into the male crew members I am who are on the ship. I mean, I've never had a thing for Leo, but some of those other dudes, yes, please. Especially the two guys in the transmitter room. I just like to imagine them in that tight space, pumping out those messages, one sending when the other receives. Then maybe they switch. Hard to starboard, indeed. Wink. And the straightest thing about me, and what's relevant to Saturday's live stream, is that the sinking and destruction scenes, special effects, are actually what I enjoy most about the movie. The other reason I felt compelled to write right now is because while listening to the first 5 minutes of Camming tonight, you referred to Michelle Williams as the not good one from Destiny's Child. Now, relatively speaking, in terms of success, you're absolutely right. I can't deny it, and I don't follow any of their careers to know better. But since Michelle is from my hometown, in her honor, I felt like I just had to say, fuck you.
By the way, thanks. This is Michelle.
Well, that's it. Thanks for all your content. I love it like a love song. I know this is too lame to make it to air, but feel free if you wish. Curtis, gay, him, he.
Do you get the line, I love you like a love song?
Baby. I love you like a love song, baby. I love you like... Is it Kylie Minogue? No, who is that?
Selena Gomez.
Oh, great.
She's so good. Have you listened to her latest album, Rare? It was number one on the charts.
So that's it. This has been Gayish.
Mike!
What?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Kyle.
This is weird energy to bring right at the very end. Did you know that Glory went to the top of the iTunes pop charts like a week or two ago? Like years after its release, it went to the top of the Billboard charts for pop, and no one knows why.
In the middle of my musical collection, there's a giant Glory hole.
Okay, that was it. But you're not reacting like you need to. Isn't that crazy? Britney Spears shot up to number one randomly.
Why do things happen?
I think because she's been all doing her videos and live streams and stuff during the pandemic. And anyway, okay.
Maybe it's the same bug that made us drop 200 points on Chartable this week for no reason. All right. This has been Gayish. A special thank you to Harvey Milk for being dead but having a birthday. Thank you to Shia LaBeouf and the Autobots and the Decepticons. Do you have anything, Kyle? Any thank yous?
Just thanks to all the verses in the world. You're real. Yeah. You're valid. You're important. And get inside me.
Thanks for giving and taking.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you.
See you next week. Are you ready for this, Kyle?
Yeah.
Are you sure?